Good morning.
So I get to follow that and read this part of scripture. That's kind of a blessing for me. So the passage today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 59 through the end of the chapter, verse 80. If you'd please stand with me as I read from the Gospel of Luke. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, and as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance in Israel.
Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning. Howard read for us from 59 through 80. We'll be in 67 through 80. The title of this message is "To Speak in Praise of God." It comes right from one of those verses that Howard read for us, verse 63, where Zacharias asks for a tablet because he cannot speak. He's been silent for a little while. And he wrote as follows, "His name is John," and they were all astonished. And in verse 64 it says, "And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God." And that's what we're looking at today. A man that's speaking in praise to God. So that's the title of our message today. It's a simple message. It's not a complicated message at all. It's a message on praising the Lord for his faithfulness. That's what this message is about. Praising the Lord for his faithfulness. With that, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we've enjoyed together this morning. Thank you for Robert and Josie and Sonia. Father, thank you for this church family. Father, thank you for the time we had in Sunday school. Thank you for the hymns we sang. Thank you for life and for love. Thank you for all that you provide for us. Bless our time in your word now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're looking at Zacharias today. He's the father of John the Baptist. We're looking at words spoken by him just 8 days after the birth of his infant son. These are words spoken at the time of this little baby, John's circumcision, baby dedication, if you will. These are probably words spoken as Zacharias holds his son, John the Baptist. I'm calling him John the Baptist, so you'll keep in mind who this is. Because that is who he is. Verse 76, Zacharias says, "And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High." I'm picturing Zacharias holding his little son, 8-day-old little son. And they're asking him what his name is. And he writes on that tablet, "His name shall be called John." And everyone's astonished by that. These are the first words Zacharias has spoken in some time now. And for a wife, he was the perfect husband for about 10 months, right? And for his sake, he just had to learn how to be quiet, right? Anyhow, Anyhow, that's all changed now. He's got a lot to say. Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth, had no children. In Luke 1:7, it says that she was barren and they were both advanced in years. I don't know how old they were. Advanced in years. They could have been Cindy and I's age or older. Beyond childbearing years. Advanced in years. Zacharias came to the temple to serve by lot. I mean, he was not expecting what was going to happen. That's what I want to bring up with that. It was a priestly duty that he got the honor of performing, to burn incense and pray before the Lord. Probably just outside the inner portion of the temple there is where he was serving, and he got that by lot. And so he was doing that. He has prayers answered. He doubts those prayers. Or he not doubts those prayers. He doubts the answer to that prayer when the angel comes and visits him. He doubts, so he's struck dumb, and then he's delayed in the temple. That'd be a message for another time. Doubted, dumb, and delayed. But now 8 days have gone past, and it's time for him to give this little one a name. And it's not the baby's first words. Of course, the baby's not going to say anything at 8 days old, but usually it's the baby's first words people are looking forward to. We're looking at dad's first words about this baby. And it has everyone not just awestruck. It actually says in verse 65, fear came on all those who heard it. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And he just seems to breathe out these words, verses 68 through 70. He just breathes them out. They're spirit-led words that he shares. He's gone from doubt about what God has said through Angel Gabriel. The Angel Gabriel has no doubt about what God has said. Isn't that something? The angel is dispatched to give Zacharias a message. And this angel has no doubt that that's the fact, but man does. I want us to look at that for a minute before we dig into this. Luke 1, verse 19. The angel, well, let's look at verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. There's no doubt in the angel's mind. That just stands out to me. I mean, an angel in heaven is dispatched. They just do it. There's no doubt in their mind. This is what's going to take place. Not so with Zacharias. I don't think it'd be so with us. We would have some doubts, and he does. But he's given this blessing of being silent for some months. But they're spirit-led words Zacharias shares in verses 68 through 79 that we're going to look at. They're words of love or about God, words about redemption, about salvation, words concerning his own son, John, and they're words of prophecy. He speaks in terms of the prophetic path. He's speaking of things that haven't quite yet happened yet, as if they've already taken place. So he's gone from this doubt with this angel to now he's fully on board. He's speaking the truth about what God has proclaimed as if it is a done deal, accomplished. He's come a long way in 10 months. And it's powerful what he says. Anyhow, words of salvation, by the forgiveness of sin also, words that connect the Old Testament with the New. There's a lot of Old Testament scripture in here. We're not going to exhaust everything that's in this text. I want you to know that. Again, this is a simple message about the faithfulness of God, that God is faithful in all his ways. There's been 400 years of silence from Malachi to this point. No prophetic utterance. No angelic visits, nothing. God has just been silent for 400 years. And into there, an angel comes and visits this man. And now Zacharias and Elizabeth are given this privilege of having a son in their old age. Do you know the name Zacharias? I scribbled this in an old Bible I had a long time ago when I was studying the book of Zechariah. Maybe Zacharias' namesake, I don't know. But that name means Yahweh remembers. The Lord remembers. Elizabeth's name means his oath. The Lord remembers his oath. That's what these, that the names of these parents mean, that very thing. The Lord remembers His oath. And I'm saying that God is faithful in all His ways. Zacharias encourages us to praise God along with him because of that fact that God is faithful. I got 4 points here. We'll take them a point at a time, verses 67 through 68. God is faithful to His timetable. God is faithful to His timetable. And there's comfort in that. There's comfort in the fact that God is faithful in His timetable. What He says will happen is going to happen. Luke 1:20, it says, "And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until..." Well, let's look there because I don't have the whole verse written out. Luke 1:20, "And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." God is faithful to His timetable, not to ours. Not to ours. I mean, it's been 400 years of silence there from Malachi to Zacharias speaking here, and people may have begun to think that God had forgotten His promises to this nation, to His people. But God is faithful to His timetable. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." In the fullness of time. I want us to notice the order in this song of praise. And we'll get to that text now. Let's just go to verse 68, where Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David His servant, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways." And He goes on from there. But the order of what He does, what He proclaims here, after all these months of silence, first He praises God for what He's done, for what God has accomplished. Then He praises God all the way through for His faithfulness and for God's plan. And then He goes from there to His own Son, how His own Son fits into that plan. So He goes from praising God, talking about God's faithfulness and God's plan, to talking about how His own Son fits into that plan. And I, as a parent, we can't do anything better. To be focused on God, God's faithfulness, and His plan, and bringing up our children, and even ourselves. How do I fit into that plan? He doesn't start with, "Here's my son." He starts with God. He starts with God and God's faithfulness, and then talks about how His own son fits into that. A parent can do no greater thing than to center their children towards God or on God and consider how they fit into God's plan and God's timetable. But God is faithful to His timetable. He says, verse 67 through 69 again, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. And He has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of David His servant." God is faithful to His timetable. He's also faithful to His word. He's faithful to His timetable, and there's comfort in that. There's comfort in that because here we are, we're living life. Your life's different than mine. We're all going about our business. What's this all about? It was mentioned in Sunday school. One of your favorite people from the Christmas story. And I was thinking of Anna. I didn't speak up at the time, but I was thinking of Anna. And what impressed me about Anna is there she is in the temple, widowed at an early age, and she's there praying and ministering in the temple all those years, and then God was faithful. She got to see things play out in God's timetable. She wasn't pressing her own agenda, pressing her own timetable. She was waiting on the Lord. God's faithful in His timetable, and there's comfort in that. It's the same thing for Anna. It's the same thing for you. That's my point with that. Same thing for me. God's faithful in His timetable. We don't have to try and figure everything out. We can just trust him. He's also faithful to his word, and there's joy in that. What he says, he means. He's faithful to his word. I'd ask you to look back again now at Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." God is faithful to his word. Compare verse 14 there. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Look at verses 57 and 58 of the same chapter. "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her." God is faithful to his word. What he proclaims, he's faithful to it, to do it. Here, there's already this evidence that what God has said is going to happen. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Here's this rejoicing taking place already. God's faithful to his word, and there's joy in that. Verse 18 of chapter 1, "Zacharias said to the angel, 'How will I know this for certain?'" Now, that's just like us. But God is faithful in all his ways, and he's faithful to his word. And Gabriel, I mentioned that already, knows it for certain. He's faithful to his word even when everything says that's impossible. God is faithful to his word. Back to verses 68 through 73. I'll pick it up at verse 70. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." God's faithful to his word. Not our words. God's not faithful to our words. If you say, you hear people say, people have said, and I've heard people give testimony to people who have said, and I've heard people say, and maybe you have as well, God's telling me to do this. But the direction they're going isn't according to the word of God. God's not faithful to that. He's not faithful to our words. He's faithful to his word. To his word. And there's joy in that because he's given us his word. He's faithful to his word. Always, always faithful to his word. God is faithful in all his ways. It's not according to our word or a disregard for what his word clearly says, but he's faithful to his word. Zechariah did not believe, and so his mouth was closed. Zechariah did not believe what the angel Gabriel told him, so his mouth was closed. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight." Every mouth closed. Zacharias' mouth is closed because of his unbelief. You can hear in Zacharias' song, this song of praise that is coming from a man who is full of joy. He has placed himself now fully in the hands of God. He's trusting God's redemption. In verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption." He's trusting in the power of God. In verse 69, "has raised up a horn of salvation." That horn of salvation that represents power, strength, and the ability to accomplish. He's trusting in God's tender mercy. In verse 78, "because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us." He's looking forward to the birth of Christ. He's trusting the promises of God and the purposes of God. And it's not possible to praise God in this way. So as you read this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke, and he just runs on. If you're reading that and you don't follow along with Zacharias in your heart, if there isn't something in you wanting to praise the Lord, I'd ask you to consider why that might be. Because you can't praise this way if you're still in your sin or still under the law. But we're able to praise God for His faithfulness according to His timetable and His word, because we're under grace, not under the law. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law, so that every mouth may be closed. We can't praise this way. People can't praise this way. Their mouths are closed if they're still under the law. This kind of praise comes out of a heart that has been renewed by grace, that has received this tender mercy of God, that is not looking for a self-righteous way to God. Psalm 107, and you don't need to turn there, starts off with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the land of the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And that's Zacharias. He's just praising God. He's praising God for God's faithfulness toward David. In verse 69, he mentions David and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant. God's faithful to His promises. The next point of this message, if you're a note taker, is faithful to His purposes. But He's also faithful to His promises. And He promised to David that he would have a son to rule on his throne. God's faithful to those promises. He promised to Abraham. He mentions Abraham as well. That Abraham, that his seed would that Abraham and through his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed. And those are unconditional, unchanging promises of God. It's not conditioned on anything. Just unconditional, unchanging promises of God. God's faithful to His promises. And these promises are in the purposes of God. And that's what I want to focus on. God's faithful to His purposes, and there's freedom in that. There's freedom. God is faithful to His purposes, and there's freedom in that. He's faithful to His word, and there's joy in that. He's faithful to His timetable. There should be comfort in that. And He's faithful to His purposes, and there's freedom in that. What He purposes will come to be. Isaiah 42. I will ask you to turn there. Isaiah 42. Just going to look at a few verses here. Look at the first three verses of Isaiah 42. "Behold," again, God is faithful to His purposes. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice." And it goes on and on and on. Go to verse 6. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." God is faithful to His purposes. And Zacharias is praising God for that fact, that God is faithful to His purposes. Still in Isaiah 42, look at verses 14 through 16. "I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and wither all the vegetation. I will make the rivers into coastlands and dry up the ponds. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone." God is faithful to His purposes. You go on from there, and you just see the nations moving away from the Lord. They're deaf and they're blind, idolaters. And look at chapter 43, verse 1. "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." And he goes on from there. And Zechariah is praising God in these ways when he says to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant in verse 72. He's looking toward what God said he would accomplish, that God has accomplished it. In verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption. I want us to consider those two words. He accomplished it. He's speaking in the prophetic past as if these things are already done. Praising God for his faithfulness in advance of seeing it. And we can do the same. He's faithful to his purposes. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. In that verse, he's talking about our sanctification and bringing us to glory. God is faithful. He will do it. If God was faithful here and Zacharias is proclaiming God's faithfulness to his purpose is that he would bring us to glory. He would sanctify us as believers. He's faithful to his purposes. Okay. He's faithful according to his timetable, according to his word. Anything else will be wood, hay, and stubble. He's faithful according to his promises and his purposes. And there's great freedom and joy in these and reasons to praise him for that faithfulness. I want us to consider the promises of God to national Israel a little bit. We don't have a bunch of time to look into that, but he's looking at things, again, with regard to the prophetic past, things as if they're already accomplished. In verses 74 and 75, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. I think that's looking forward to a time for the nation of Israel. People think God's done with the nation of Israel. He's not. I think that looks at something else as well, even a deeper truth. And it's for us as believers. It's for you if you're an unbeliever. There is this ability. Look what it says in verses 74 and 75 of Luke chapter 1. To grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Well, who's the enemy of our soul? Satan? Who's the master? Who's our master before coming to faith in Christ? Sin? We think sin's an act, right? I heard someone talking about this. We think sin's an act. Ron mentioned it this morning. We don't sin because we sin because we are sinners. Because sin is our master. It's not an act we do. It's not a one-off. Sin's our master. Apart from coming to faith in Christ, sin is our master. That's why I'm saying that there's freedom in the fact that God is faithful to his purposes. Because when you come to faith in Christ, when you're trusting in grace and not the law, when you're trusting in what God has said, when you're trusting in his word and his timetable and his purposes, he grants you that you be rescued from the hand of your enemy, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all your days. So he's faithful to his purposes. God is faithful in all his ways. He's faithful to his people. And there's great purpose in that. He's faithful to his people. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He's faithful to his people. Verse 69, and has raised up for who? A horn of salvation for who? For us. He's faithful to his people. Verse 72, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. He's faithful to his people. Verse 74, to grant us, he's faithful to his people, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. He's faithful to his people in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And Zacharias brings all this faithfulness of God. And I know this is kind of scattered through these verses that I'm sharing this with you, but this is a simple message. It's about the fact that God is faithful in all his ways. He's been talking about God's faithfulness, visiting us, accomplishing redemption, salvation, fulfilling those promises he gave to David and gave to Abraham. And now he brings it right into home in verse 76. And you, child. It doesn't get any closer than that. For a dad, the dads that are here, moms that are here, you'd give your life for your son or your daughter. He's got his son in his arms. He brings us right to home. And you, child, God is faithful to his people. That's what Zacharias is proclaiming. will be called the prophet of the Most High. He's trusting what God has said through the angel Gabriel, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways. This is an example. Zacharias is giving us a living example of his trust in God's faithfulness to God, to his timetable, God's faithfulness to his word, his purposes, and to his people. And he acknowledges, again, God's tender mercy. I've mentioned that already, toward his people. Who's his tender mercy toward? It has to be toward someone. It's toward his people. Because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. That goes back to Malachi 4:2, again, bridging the Old Testament with the New. Isaiah 9:2 is kind of what he's saying here in verse 79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Verse 80, and the child continued to grow and to become strong in the spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. God's faithful to his timetable. There's no coincidences with God. He's faithful to his word. John the Baptist was God's man to be Christ's forerunner. He's faithful to his purposes and he's faithful to his people. His faithfulness should cause us to speak in praise of God. Again, I started saying, and I know I've just been in my notes here kind of steady. I started off saying, this is a message about God's faithfulness. He's faithful in all his ways. We can trust him. That's what Zacharias is proclaiming here. With everything he's proclaiming God's faithfulness. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. You can trust him. When he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he means it. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father but through me, he means it. You can trust him. When the Bible says there's salvation in no other name, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, speaking of Christ, you can trust it. God has said it in his word. He's faithful. His word is trustworthy. His purposes are sure. You can trust him. He's faithful. His timetable's faithful. It's not, your life isn't a coincidence. It's not a coincidence you stepped in here today. It isn't. It's not an accident. It's not a happenstance. Zacharias, I'm sure, was just going to the temple all excited about the duties there. And all those people outside, we didn't go there, we're outside praying. All the people are outside praying. He's in there, has his visit from the angel Gabriel, tells him your prayers have been answered. Those prayers weren't recent prayers. They weren't. The prayer was for a son. I doubt in his old age he's still praying for a son. But God is faithful. God's faithful, and here comes this son. And the son is born, and there's rejoicing right away. And the son fulfills his mission given, because God's faithful to his purposes. We can trust him. We can trust his word. Living according to his word might not be comfortable sometimes. You might think, is there anything there for me? Boy, I'm not sure, God. All this is okay with me, but that, I'm not sure I want to do that. God's faithful. Faithful to his word. He's not faithful to our word. You can trust him. He's faithful. That's what Zacharias is proclaiming here. And he's proclaiming it powerfully. He's been silent for 10 months. He brings his son to a baby dedication. Has to write on a tablet, his name is John. That display of faith in what God has said loosens his mouth. And what comes out of him is the faithfulness of God. And he's encouraging us to consider that God is absolutely faithful. You can trust him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can trust him. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what the emotional things are, the baggage, the whatever. You can trust him. You can trust him. If you haven't come to faith in Christ, you're wondering, what is all this about? I want you to know, there's no other way. You can trust Jesus. You put your faith and trust in him alone. Him alone. You've got nothing to bring to God. Nothing. All your righteousness is as filthy rags before holy God. His holiness and who you are, you're probably a better person than me. I would bet you are. You're probably a better person than the next guy. But compared to God, you're nothing. You've got nothing to show. Absolutely nothing. He's perfectly holy. And we're not. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. We need a Savior. And Zacharias is proclaiming, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. Redemption is to be bought with a costly price. Christ hasn't gone to the cross yet, hasn't paid the price yet. He's talking in a prophetic past as if it's already accomplished. It's a done deal because Christ is going to do it because God's faithful. You can trust Him. I feel like I could run on and on with this, but I probably shouldn't. So we're going to close here. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your word and thank You for Your people. Help us, Father, to understand what that means, that You are faithful. Our life isn't just a bunch of random coincidences. You're faithful. If what we're thinking and our opinions don't measure up to Your word, Father, we got to get in line because You're faithful to Your word. You bless those who live according to Your word. And You're faithful to Your purposes, Lord. We can trust that You've got a plan. It's not just all random chance. And You're faithful to Your people. We praise Your name for Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.